Looking back at Horning's story, we see all too clearly the incipient hatred and the racism that were soon to explode in the First World War. In today's story, The Gift of the Emperor, it is a somber bunny who, for the last time, sets the scene.
It is with a heavy heart that I take up my pen to write these, the last words in which I shall ever record the singular gifts by which my friend A.J. Raffles was distinguished. In an entirely inadequate fashion, I have endeavored to give some account of my adventures in his company. From the chance that first brought us together again on the Ides of March, up to the time of his appropriation of the Maguire boxing trophies. It was my intention to have stopped there, and to have said nothing of that event which has created a void in my life, which the lapse of 2 long years has done little to fill. But my hand has been forced, and I have no choice but to lay the facts before the public exactly as they occurred.
You know, I'm proud of you, Bunny, old sport. This piece in the Pall Mall Gazette is first rate, you know.
Ah,
the pearl and the potentate. Satirical verse, eh? Who'd have thought it? It's nice to know you can turn your hand to earning an honest penny at a pinch.
It was an Indian summer that year, and we were taking the delights of the river, Raffles and I, near Thames Ditton, where I'd recently purchased a small property.
Is this all true about this pearl? It's really worth £50,000.
£100,000, I believe. But £100,000 wouldn't scan.
And all this stuff about international politics and so forth.
Well, true enough. The Kaiser intends to insult the British crown.
In the person of his grandmother, the Queen.
God bless her. By passing on the fabled pearl she gave him.
To this tin-pot potentate who's been giving us all a lot of trouble in the South Seas.
Yes, exactly.
Such imperial German impudence. You know, with all due respect to your satirical sallies in the Pall Mall Gazette, it occurs to me that our mustachioed pickle, however, could do with a somewhat weightier lesson in manners.
Well, I'm a journalist, of sorts. I have to attack him by means of the pen.
That's good. That's very good. Choice of weapons, eh? A most interesting idea.
I heard nothing of Raffles for several weeks after that. Then, out of the blue, came a brief telegram.
Season of mists and mellow fruitfulness playing old Harry with my ancient bones. Have therefore arranged 2 berths on North German Lloyd liner Vulcan, calling Naples, Capri, and Fairylands forlorn. Leave Waterloo 9:25 a.m. Monday next for Southampton. We'll meet you on board with tickets. Raffles.
I say, steward. Steward? Bitter? Oh, look, for heaven's sake. Don't go away. Deuce, take it. Why on earth did Raffles book on a German vessel? Most unpatriotic of him.
I'll go, mein Herr. What can you do this to?
Please, I, from you, something to ask. Wish...
And what may that be, sir?
You speak English all the time.
No, sir, not all the time. Sometimes French, sometimes Dutch, sometimes Greek, sometimes Belgian, and German too, of course. German is my native tongue.
Nothing to be proud of.
Now, I'm looking for a Mr. Raffles. He has my ticket. Is he aboard?
Wait. I've got a little list, as you're so amusing, Mr. William Schwenk Gilbert put it.
William Schwenk Gilbert?
Yes, sir. The gentleman is aboard.
Ah, well, do you know where? He's not in his cabin.
No, sir, I don't. Happy to have been of service, sir.
Well, wait a minute.
Excuse me. I could not sense
overhearing. Is the gentleman you are looking for about 6 foot tall in a straw hat and cricketing jacket? If so, he is present, flirting with the young lady in the promenade deck.
It could be, Raffles, certainly. Is it an eye zingery blazer?
Looks more like eye pagliacci to me, which happens.
Black, red and gold.
That may well be, whatever it may signify.
It signifies from darkness through blood and fire to glory at last.
It sounds almost Mozartian. What a strange game your cricket must be.
It's not meant for foreigners, von Heumann. And as for Mozart, I see myself more as Don Giovanni than Cimino.
Raffles?
No, it can't be. Good heavens. Manders, isn't it?
You're just about the last person I expected to see. Are you taking this cruise with us, old boy, or are you just seeing someone off?
But Raffles...
You were looking for me, eh? I suppose you saw my name on the passenger list.
What on earth are you talking
about? Splendid. I say, perhaps we can share a berth. It's better than trusting to fate and the purser's whim, don't you think? I'll see about it directly.
Yes, that will be splendid.
Now I shall take you and show you around. If you'll excuse us, Major von Heumann.
Certainly, yes. But first, I should be most interested to learn.
Yes.
How you come to know my name?
Well, since you ask, I heard two of the lady passengers discussing you.
Discussing me?
That's right.
What exactly did they say?
Look, von Heumann, won't you let it rest?
No, please tell me.
Well... One of them said, who's that revolting little squirt with the lethal ginger moustache? And the other said, oh, you must mean the odious Major von Heumann. Well, you did insist on knowing, old boy.
I see. This must be the famous English humor of which I've heard so much. Most amusing.
Well, now, if you'll pardon me, von old fellow, I really must be off. I want to introduce Bunny here to a new friend of mine.
It's Miss Dunn. Is it not?
Indeed it is. And pray don't dribble, old sport. It's not considered frightfully attractive. Goodbye. Same to you, old chap.
Raffles, I'm surprised at you. You're insufferably rude to that poor devil.
Do you think it got through to him? I thought of offering something more subtle in the way of a snub, but decided I'd be wasting my time.
Well, why do you want to snub him, Raffles? Seemed quite a decent little cove to me.
I'll explain everything later, Bunny.
You don't have to, AJ. I can fathom out one thing for myself. You are up to something.
Yes, Bunny. I can't deny it. I am up to something.
But what a something. Why, Raffles? That last venture brought us in enough, didn't it? We neither of us need ever to do anything dishonest again.
Well, this is different. This is something beyond personal gain. There she is.
Oh, what?
The divine Miss Stan.
Raffles. A girl?
That's what they're called, I believe.
I thought at least it would be.
Hush. She'll hear.
No, she won't. She's asleep.
Isn't she a fine figure of a woman, Bunny?
Big heavily built, isn't she? Yeah.
Marvelous round thighs, like a Rubens.
And what a mouth. Difficult to judge hanging at the moment.
And her voice, Bunny. You should hear her voice.
Like a full carillion of bells over there.
You know, I do believe you've hit it, Bunny.
That raffles there. I must point out that I think I've got...
She wakes. Why, hello there, Mr. Raffles. Who's your friend?
I cannot say that I took to Miss Verner at once. Besides being Australian, which was not, of course, her fault, she seemed to embody none of those qualities I thought desirable in a woman. She was loud and raucous, with a laugh like a kookaburra. She also trespassed freely upon male preserves. That night, at the captain's table, she matched the men story for story. And some of her tales were unfit, even for the smoking room.
I wondered, she did. Good deed, Reverend. Ain't you never seen a kangaroo before?
Very funny, Mister. Very good.
I think your friend is amused, are they?
Oh, take no notice. The Bunny's probably heard it before.
It was with great distress I learned that Miss Verner was booked for the round trip. There would be no escaping her company.
Will you come swimming tomorrow, Miss Verner?
Can't swim, Major. I never learned. Mm. I was born and bred 500 miles from the sea, you know.
Oh, think of that, Bunny. 500 miles. Fascinating.
Well, that reminds me. Another one I heard about a hobo visits the sheep station miles from anywhere.
Oh, yes.
There in the yard, he sees this enormous...
That night in our berth, I ventured to ask Raffles what he saw in the girl.
What a strange question, Bunny.
Can't you answer it?
Well, certainly I can, old boy. Youth, for one. Beauty, for two.
Beauty.
But that's a matter of taste. And for three, oh, many things. Sense of humor, good appetite, strong arm. She would, I think, make an excellent fast bowler. And hair that turns a thousand colors in the sun. She's also in the way of being an excellent alibi.
Alibi?
I use the word loosely. I mean that everyone will now think of me as the fellow who's having a shipboard flirtation with the young Australian girl and never bother their heads over the darker purpose I have in mind.
So there is something else.
I'll put it like this. This exploit concerns the wiping out of an insult.
It's the pearl, isn't it? The gift of the Emperor.
I've run it to earth, Bunny. Or rather, to sea.
Units here? Aboard the Vulcan?
It is.
Where?
Somewhere in the keeping of Herr Major von Heumann. He's the Kaiser's special envoy.
How did you find this out?
I've been in Berlin keeping my ears open. I've a lot invested in this.
But the pearl is unsaleable, Raffles.
So is the honor of the British Empire.
The pearl is a detail, Bunny.
Half a mind to pitch it into the sea.
Well, where is it? In the purser's safe?
I think not. That would risk word getting out among the crew. No, I think our little friend with the ginger moustache is keeping it on his person somewhere. I'm relying on Miss Werner to find that out.
She's in this with you?
Oh, good heavens, no. But I've worked von Heumann up into a sweat of frustration concerning our Australian miss. He's mortified that I appear to be making all the running there, and sooner or later, to mix a jolly metaphor, he's going to have to play his ace.
Show her the pearl.
Exactly.
Yes, but he'll swear to secrecy.
Oh, undoubtedly.
Then how will you find out about it?
Oh, Bunny. How little you know the Miss Verners of this world.
You mean she'll tell you all the same?
Of course. She will hope to provoke me to some similar indiscretion, which she will then relate to my rival.
So that was why you were so rude to von Heumann.
Fuel to the fire, my dear old rabbit. People in a temper are notoriously careless.
For the next few days, I observed Miss Werner pursued by one or other man. Whichever enjoyed the full benefit of her favors went around in her wake, laughing at her jokes, seeking to keep her amused, a fixed smile of triumph that seemed permanently glued to his features. At such times, the other would withdraw to his cabin and there remain like Achilles sulking in his tent. And there, on a Sunday afternoon, I found Raffles playing patience.
Hello, Bunny, old chap. How wags the world?
Oh, very briskly, if it has anything in common with von Heumann.
I thought you'd better take her on this afternoon as a sort of reward for being a good fellow.
You mean your plan has worked?
Our pearl is in a soft leather bag which he keeps on a string about his neck. He showed her the thing last night by candlelight. Very romantic. At least Miss Werner thought so. And now she's waiting for an equivalent gesture from me. And it won't be so long a coming. We shall be in Genoa by sunset, and that's where the deed must be done.
On land?
No, on board, tomorrow night.
But how do you intend to get into his cabin? Surely he'll keep it well locked.
Well, that's the least of my problems. Now look here, just above this upper bunk.
Huh?
See this thing like a trap door?
Oh, yes, of course, it's a ventilator. The more you open it, the more air comes into the cabin.
Correct. It operates on a very crude draft system, like the damper in a fireplace. Funny, this ventilation system runs the length and breadth of the ship like a rabbit warren. I have merely to make a simple map, loosen this screw and that, and set out through here as soon as the time is ripe. At the other end, I can ease the ventilator open, get my hand through, and undo the thing. If our quarry is asleep, and he'd be well advised to be so, I'll apply the chloroform, take the pearl, and be back up here before you can say Jack Robinson.
Under the spell of his enthusiasm, I set my fears aside, as I had done so often in the past. But the tiniest of doubts still nagged at my brain, and my dreams that night were haunted by images of disaster, of discovery, and disgrace, and death. The next day, however, my spirits were quite recovered, and I played my part in entertaining our quarry, and ensuring he would settle in his bunk that night, well stupefied from an excess of champagne.
But what are we celebrating, Mr. Mendes?
Do we need a reason? I don't think reason is necessary. You, Miss Werner?
Not at all, Harry.
But if you must have a reason to celebrate our safe arrival in Genoa, eh, Captain?
The Norddeutsche Lloyd has very few accidents on its Genoa round, Mr. Raffles.
Well, long may it continue. Steward!
Yes, sir.
More champagne. Major von Heumann's glass is empty.
Nobody noticed in that jolly assembly how rarely my own glass was topped up or that of Raffles, and it was a very sober pair that retired to its cabin in the early hours of the morning to prepare for the business in hand.
There, Bunny, our door to success. It's more sensible, really, to wear nothing at all, but one has always to consider a sudden reversal. Now, pass me up my gear. Chloroform. Cotton wool. Pebble. A screwdriver. Splendid. Well, good luck, Raffles. If I'm not back in 20 minutes,
I ring the fire alarm.
Exactly.
Those next few minutes were among the worst in my life. I started to worry that our little party had been a rather obvious device. What would happen now if von Heumann had seen through our ruse? I imagined him waiting with a revolver cocked and ready as Raffles scrambled into the cabin. And even if the little German suspected nothing, what perils might await my friend in the unexplored reaches of the ventilating system? What if there were great fans somewhere along its length which suddenly spun into life as he scrambled along with great blades to cut him into ribbons? What if the floor of the shaft...
Give me a hand, will you, buddy?
Raffles,
you're safe. This is no matter. Quite as simple as I'd hoped. Von Heumann was sleeping deeply and now sleeps deeper still. He may well wonder at the violence of his hangover tomorrow, but otherwise he's none the worse and none the wiser.
And the pearl?
Here, buddy. And it's everything they said it was. Look at it. As large as a filbert with a pale pink tinge like a lady's fingernail.
It's quite amazingly beautiful.
Just that I'm waxed, Bunny. A stiff whiskey and soda to wet the baby's head, so to speak, and I'm for bed. In the morning, I'll find some place to hide the thing, and then we'll simply sit back for the rest of the cruise and enjoy the passing show. I dare say there'll be plenty to see once they realize the thing has gone.
But, Raffles, aren't we going to get rid of it?
Not on your life. Well, now I've seen it, I'm not letting it out of my sight. No, Bunny. And we'll stay aboard at Genoa like respectable folk. No point in drawing attention to ourselves.
The next morning we rose early and breakfasted most heartily. Beyond the absence of von Heumann from the board, who had excused himself pleading a headache, everything seemed normal. Later, at noon, we even stood by the rail, like any curious tourists, and watched the new passengers aboard.
It's part of the fun of a cruise, old man. To see what fate has in store in the way of company. I hope there's someone capable of playing a decent hand at the bridge.
Do I gather that your interest in Miss Werner has waned a little?
Not at all. But I might leave her to von Heumann for a while. I have a feeling he'll need a little consolation.
Well, look.
Hmm?
Oh, this fellow looks promising company. You ever see a merrier looking old boy?
Where?
But there, you see? With the muffler and the long white beard.
Oh.
Yeah. He certainly looks capable of telling a tale or two.
Yes, he is. I happen to know he could tell a tale or two to surprise us both.
You know him, Raffles?
Indeed I do. The beard is new, certainly, and I may say recent. But there's nothing to disguise that walk of his. That, my dear Bunny, is none other than Inspector Mackenzie of Scotland Yard. Now, come away from the rail. We don't let on. We've spotted him.
But why is he here? And in disguise?
I've been afraid of this. He's a canny little fellow and as diligent as an owl. I believe he got it into his head a long time ago that we are not what we seem to be. And though we always covered our tracks, we could never disguise the fact that we were present at the scene of several unsolved crimes.
But you still haven't explained.
I haven't explained because I don't know. My guess would be that he'd been keeping a regular eye on us. And when we suddenly disappeared on a cruise together, he made inquiries about the other passengers.
But to be in Genoa this morning, he must have set off
some considerable time before our crime was committed.
Mm.
I believe he's counting on anticipating us this time, Bunny. Hence the disguise. But I fear he will warn von Heumann about us, and then the fat will really be in the fire. EQ. There's nothing for it, my dear Bunny, but to lie low in our cabin and wait for the steward's knock upon the door.
His face was as grim and set as I'd ever seen it. We sat in silence for a couple of hours, smoking, each of us absorbed in his own thoughts, while the great engines of the ship bore us further and further from the safety of the shore. At last, the knock came.
Who's that?
It's the steward, sir.
What do you want?
Captain's compliments, sir. And would you two gentlemen kindly join him in his cabin?
This is it, Bunny.
Mm.
We shan't be a moment.
I was ordered to wait for you, sir.
Well, then wait. Nothing for it. We must face it out.
No.
Raffles, you're not thinking of using that thing.
Why not? I've no wish to go to prison, Bunny.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Arthur, we're changing. The steward won't let me come in.
We still have a chance. Just coming.
Are you in some sort of trouble?
Bunny, when we get to the captain's cabin, leave all the talking to me.
Mr. Raffles, Mr. Manders, please come in.
Miss Werner is with us. May she come in too?
This isn't a social invitation, Mr. Raffles.
No, pity.
How?
Good heavens. It isn't. It can't be.
You will have your little joke at my expense, Mr. Raffles. But I have a feeling that the last laugh will be mine on this occasion.
Oh, take it and welcome, O'Connor.
It has been brought to my attention that a most serious theft has been perpetrated aboard this vessel.
Oh, that's why you're here, Mackenzie. But why all the face fungus, old boy?
Why can't you simply put the man in irons? Then we could set his cabin.
That's not our way, Major von Heumann.
I should think not, indeed. What is all this about theft? May we know about it?
In different circumstances, I should be glad to indulge in a game of cat and mouse with you, Mr. Raffles. But we are aboard a foreign vessel and depend upon the goodwill of the captain here. I think politeness demands that we bring this matter to a swift conclusion.
We're all for politeness, Mackenzie, aren't we, buddy? Stay on, ma'am.
Mr. Raffles, Mr. Manders, I have here warrants for your arrest.
Sure, that was quick, Inspector.
The robberies in question occurred some time ago, Mr. Raffles. They are cases I have been working on for some months.
I see. But what is this about a robbery aboard this ship?
Mr. Raffles, I know you have the peril. And I know how you got it. I can't have you arrested here and now under German law. Have you ever seen the inside of a German prison, Mr. Raffles?
I've been spared that experience, Mackenzie.
It's not one I think you'd enjoy, sir. But with the agreement of the captain and Major von Heumann here, I am prepared to offer you a bargain. Return the peril here and now, and nothing more will be said.
And these other matters?
You must take your chance with them.
Doesn't seem to be much of a bargain, Inspector.
It's the best I can offer.
The warrant for Mr. Manders here. Tear it up, and you shall have your pearl.
Raffles.
I can't do that, Mr. Raffles.
He has the pearl. He's admitted it. Give him to me. I'll beat the truth out of him.
I'd be glad to oblige you, Von.
Oh, yes.
Hold on. Now we'll have no more of that sort of talk, if you please, Major. Well, Mr. Raffles.
Well, buddy, whatever you do, Raffles, you know you can count on me. I know that, buddy. And I'm sorry to have brought you to this pass. Well, very well, gentlemen. You shall have your pearl.
Yeah, there is man enough to come and fetch. Raffles, my daughter, revolver!
Stand well back, buddy. The trigger pulled on a hair.
Put that thing down, Mr. Raffles.
I think not, Mackenzie. I promised you the pearl, did I not? Well, here it is. In the barrel of this revolver. How's that for a hiding place? I've only to squeeze this trigger, and the gift of the Emperor will be shattered into a thousand fragments. And besides any other damage the bullet might do. So, who will come and fetch it from me?
I shall, Mr. Raffles.
Think better. Think of the pearl.
You think I'm bluffing, Mackenzie?
No, sir, I do not. And that is why I... Thank you, Mr. Raffles. I knew you would never press that trigger. I've studied you for many long months. I know you well by now. I know you are incapable of destroying a thing of beauty. Such as this. Here, take it, Major von Heumann.
My God, Mackenzie. That pearl had not been there.
It would have been another story, I know that, sir. Will you have these two escorted to the brig, Captain?
Wait.
Well, Mr. Raffles...
The game is up, I know. I've one small favor left to ask, and then the law shall have its way with me and be damned to you all.
What favor, Mr. Raffles?
This may come as a surprise to you all, but since I boarded this ship, I've become engaged to be married.
Married? Raffles. To Miss Werner?
Exactly. But don't worry, Herr Major. Seems you will have her to yourself for the rest of the voyage. I'm sure you'll be able to console her.
What is it you want?
I'd like to break this to her myself. Better from my lips, don't you know?
The steward, send for Miss Werner.
No need. She's just outside.
Very well. You have 2 minutes. Here, steward. Take this. You keep him covered, but stay out of earshot.
Very good, sir.
Thank you. You're a good fellow, Mackenzie.
I see you are a man of sentiment, Inspector.
Aye. I hope I shan't regret it.
Look! He has his arm around her. A gentleman does not spy on a man and a woman alone together, von Heumann. He's embracing her. They're kissing.
Major von Heumann!
My God, he's pushing her
overboard. Stop him!
The side.
Stop him! Stop him! I hope I shan't regret it, I said!
Stop firing like that, you'll hit the girl.
Get in after them, somebody. He dives under.
Get me that gun, you idiot.
The girl, she can't swim.
Save the girl, someone.
Can you see her here?
He vanished. If I could just get one clear shot at him.
Ah, they got hold of it, Werner. I think she's all right.
I'm fired.
Your man is gone, Inspector.
One of them, aye. I might have known we'd never get him into a jail. He prepared the gentleman's way out.
What do you mean? He can swim? I fear your friend has no hope, young man. We are a dozen miles from land. The currents around here are notorious.
Aye, they're muckle dangerous, it's said. Come away, Mr. Manders. We've seen the last of A.J. Raffles.
They took me and locked me in the brig. A small barred porthole looked out to sea. For many hours I watched while the ship hove to and boats were put out to search for my friend. And as the sun sank behind the island of Elba, far astern, did my eyes deceive me or was there a dark speck bobbing amidst the grey? The bugle blew for dinner and still I watched. And night fell before I ever knew whether it was a human head or not.
In The Gift of the Emperor, you heard Jeremy Clyde as A.J. Raffles and Michael Cochran as Bunny. The program was produced by the BBC and acquired from the BBC Transcription Service with support from National Public Radio member stations and the NPR Arts and Performance Fund. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation and the Tandy Corporation. I'm Catherine Lumens, and this is NPR, National Public Radio.
The Columbia Workshop. At some time or other, everyone has felt a keen desire to change his luck, to break away from his accustomed routine and embark on an entirely new mode of living. For the purpose of our story, we assume that this same urge is felt by characters who are purely fictitious, and that the immortals of literature, who exist only between the well-worn covers of books, yearn for release from monotony, even as you and I. In the fantasy we are about to present, the feelings expressed by the people you meet are their own, and not inspired by the authors who created them. Having escaped through copyright lane into the limitless expanse of the public domain,